Revelation chapter 8. I just want to say a few words about verses 6 through 13. There is, in these verses of Scripture, a great deal of judgment by God against this earth. And we just need to remember that these are figurative experiences. And I'm going to read a quote from Mr. Hawker that deals with this section of Scripture. "It is the church and the church only that is at the bottom of all of God's designs in this earth. The putting down one empire and the setting up of another is only to bring about the Lord's purposes concerning His church and people. When this grand object is to be accomplished, the Lord makes what instrument He pleaseth subservient to the work, an emperor or a beggar, in raising up or throwing down, when the church of Christ needs it, is the same. Whether he uses a beggar or whether he uses an emperor, it is for his purpose in the church that he does all these things." Now there are four different angels in this last section of the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation that pour out judgment upon the earth. And I don't think that there's any greater judgment has ever been poured out on the earth than for thoughts about and against God. I've always wanted to look up, and I finally did. There are 14 or 15 times in 1 and 2 Kings alone that these words are used with regard to a king, that no one caused Israel to sin like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, in setting up two golden calves. The kings of Israel are often noted for that. And we're going to read a verse of Scripture in a few minutes about that. But he set up two golden calves and he established a free will works religion that had been in the world up to that time and was exemplified by the establishment of those two golden calves and has been around since then doing quite well. In fact, God put Israel and Judah both into poverty by taking them into captivity over the issue of idolatry and worshiping things against God. And I can't help but think that these four woes or four things that are poured out on the earth are a result of those very things. Now, judgment is brought out against people because of heresy, because of a wrong view of God. And I can think of three or four things right off the top that God has judged this world over, the religious world in particular. And the first thing that he has judged this world about is the deity of Christ. That it wasn't long after the Lord's own personal ministry on this earth, there were those that believed that there was a Jesus, but he was not divine. And then it wasn't very long, and even during the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he was accused of doing things by the power of Beelzebub. And he said, "There will be one sin that I'll not forgive for." And that's a sin against the Holy Spirit, and that's attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil, or the devil's works to the Holy Spirit. And he said, that's an unpardonable sin. Now, no believer can ever commit that sin. And every unbeliever has committed that sin. And it's a judgment, the denial of the work of the Holy Spirit, the denial of the need of regeneration. And these things that are mentioned in here, the pouring out of these woes upon the earth, the people of the earth, the sea, it often is mentioned about people, and these are poured out upon them because of God's judgment against the things of this world. And it has happened, it has happened, it continues to happen, it will happen, And these things do not strike God's people. They may be in a persecution, but they'll never be dealt judgment like these are dealt. And then the third thing that comes to my mind is the denial of original sin, that Adam really fell and Adam's sin was really great. The religious world look at the fall as just a minor incident in the Garden of Eden, and with enough education and with enough intestinal fortitude, you can get over the problem and you can be a Christian. And that's so much an error. That's such a error. That is just pure heresy, that the fall in the Garden of Eden was serious. It brought death. And I've mentioned that there's only one place that death is has to be dissected and examined to find out if it is real death, and that's in the religious world. In every other place, we have no problem with it, but in the religious world, there's a big question about what did God mean when he said, we are dead in trespasses and sin. Does that really mean dead, or does that mean incapacitated? And it all is based on the fact of original sin, whether Adam really sinned to the point of bringing death. Most of the persecution has been by religious people. It's happening today. It has happened in the past. It will continue to happen. The greatest persecution on the church of Jerusalem was by religious people. The greatest persecution of our Lord Jesus Christ was by religious people. The greatest persecution of the church through the ages has been religious people. It's interesting to find out how many churches believe that they were the first church and that there was no other people around but them at the time. And then you ask them, who were you persecuting then? They were persecuting religious, God-fearing people. It's the religion of the world that has persecuted the church. And if people die as a result of persecution, this... we have to keep this in context. If people die as a result of persecution, it is God's manner of promotion. Death is not the end. Death is the beginning. Death is the entrance into glory. And we have it almost viewed as, what great sin did they commit that God would do this to them, when in reality it is God's means of putting his people in his presence. So that's death. All right. There's a lot said in there, and there's not much more that I'm going to say about it, about those verses of Scripture in Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, except God's judgment. And there just seems to be some statements about judgment against some of the worst heresies that have been created by man. I'd like to go to the 9th chapter, if you would, with me. The 9th chapter, and we'll spend a little time here with regard to these, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven up to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, we just want to understand that this is a great pollution that came out of that pit. Now, we're going to find out it's not literal smoke. This is a great pollution that came out of that pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, grass and green thing and tree means there's life. They're not to hurt anybody that has spiritual life. There's not to hurt anybody that's regenerated. They're not to hurt anybody that has, what does he say there, the seal of God in their foreheads. So the elect is safe. They're under the protective care of Almighty God. And then in verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shades of the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads there were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and their tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. I'm going to stop there, and would like to go back here to this very beginning of this chapter and look at some of the things that are mentioned here. This fifth angel sounded, and at his command, at the command of God, this bottomless pit was opened. And out of this bottomless pit arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of this pit. Now this is symbolic. It, again, is figurative words. It's figurative language about what God had to say about the issues of this world. And this pollution is not literal, but it's a spiritual pollution that has come up out of the bottomless pit. Now, this spiritual pollution is none other than what we find with regard to Jeroboam over in the book of 1 Kings when he is made king. It's a free will, works religion is the greatest pollution that this world has ever seen. There has been none like it. Now, we can put scrubbers on furnaces and only 2% of the pollutants escape into the atmosphere. But we have yet to be able to put scrubbers on the pollution of free will works religion. That's God's business. He's the only one that can take care of that issue. It has been around since Cain, just outside of the Garden of Eden. It was continuously around. It's been around. It is around. And we're seeing the results of that kind of religion in our world today. This is a free will works religion. God is relegated to the sidelines, and free will of man is brought to the forefront. And it's been that way among religions since the very beginning. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10, we find here these words with regard to Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was appointed by God to rule 10 of the tribes of Israel. God raised him up. In fact, he would not let Rehoboam go and get after him. Rehoboam was going to go kill him, take the kingdom back. And God sent a prophet, says, "You leave him alone. He's appointed by me." Now, notice what Jeroboam did here. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 29. What a great pollution was in the land. Now, there's only one way that this pollution can be dealt with. And Jesus Christ dealt with this pollution with the woman at the well. You remember what she had to say? "Our fathers say in this mount we are to worship." Now, that's the mount where this golden calf was. "Our fathers say in this mount." Our fathers tell us that there is a free will, works religion, and we can worship this golden calf and we will be okay. Now, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can take care of that pollution. It cannot be delegated by the government. It cannot be made better by anybody else. No religion has ever made this pollution any better. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that pollution in that woman's heart there at Jacob's well when she came to draw water, and he declared himself unto her, and that's the only way that she was ever able to get rid of that kind of pollution, religious pollution. Now, 2 Kings chapter 10, and there 14 or 15 times, it's almost like this through 1 Kings and 2 Kings, but 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 29, the scriptures tell us this. 2 Kings chapter 10. "Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. 14 or 15 times with regard to different kings of Israel, these same words are brought up. They did not depart from the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. They continued to allow these calves to go on. And we know that they stayed there for a long time because in the days of the Lord Jesus, he finds it an issue among those Samaritans. Our Father said, in this mount we're to worship. And you say, in Jerusalem you're to worship. Well, the Lord dealt with religion right there and there. He's not in the business of pollution. He's in the business of clean air. He had the first Clean Air Act. And that Clean Air Act is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So this great pollution that comes out of this bottomless pit, this pollution that comes up, it's just a stagnant air with regard to God. It is filled with this idea that men are going to make it on their own. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this pollution that has come up. It has filled the world. There's not a whit's difference between Southern Baptists and Mohammedism. Not a whit's difference. Nobody's saved by being a Southern Baptist, and nobody's saved by being a Mohammed. It is works religion. Whatever it is that's not Christ, and Christ's purpose of grace, it is works religion. And it's the same, fell out of the same pit, and it's the same pollution, and it's the same killer pollution. It stagnates. Now here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what is he making reference to here? I can't help but think that the Apostle Paul is making reference to what he used to be. What did he used to do? Hidden things of dishonesty. What was it? Walking in craftiness. What was it? Handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what he used to do. And that's what religion was doing at that time. And the only one that ever changed his mind about this was the Spirit of God. This is a real pollution. This is dirty air. Renouncing the hidden things. He was dishonest. And he was walking in craftiness and handling the word of God deceitfully. That was his old life. That was his old style. But when God saved him, now he can identify that so quickly. What is there about the gospel? It's a clear sound of a distinct bell. It is a... I found a silver dollar the other day I put up. First thing I did with it is put it on the tip of my finger and hit it with a washer. And I got to hear that clear silver sound again. It is a nice ding. And put one of the new ones on there. It's a clunk. This is a pring. So melodious. There is such a clearness about the gospel. And God's people can identify it instantaneously when it's not the gospel. When it is deceitful. When it is underhanded. When it is a lie. When it is dishonest. When it is deceitful. Now he goes on to say there in verse 2, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. What did he do before? He preached himself. He preached the law. He was one. I just can hear Saul of Tarsus say, I've got my doctorate. I'm a doctor of the law. He bragged on his position, and therefore he had the authority to say what he said. Every time he wrote to a church, you know what authority he claimed now? I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't go back to that law. He didn't go back to his training. That's pollution. It takes people's minds away from Christ. This is pollution, he says. I'm showing you, I preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. A lot of people look on the outside and say, look at that. He says, it's on the inside. I was preaching this pollution and say, clean up your outside and you'll be fine. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, you've cleaned up the outside of the platter, but the inside is still an atrocious mess. You've whitewashed the prophets' tombs, but inside is dead men's bones. You've looked at the outside of everything. And that's what religion does. Looks at the Reformation and not the regeneration. Looks at the outside improvement. Look what we've done. We've got so many classes of AA classes. We're doing God's work here, and regeneration is relegated to nothing. But Reformation is brought to the forefront. And that's nothing but pollution. It blinds the minds of people. Goes on to say here, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, these things, I've renounced this. I've renounced the pollution. I'm in the Clean Air Act. I don't want a dirty, dirty religion. I want Christ and Him crucified. I don't want fog. I want Christ. I don't want hidden things. I want revealed things. I don't want this cleaning up the outside. I want a new creature on the inside. I don't want this reformation. I want this treasure in earthen vessels. This outside is falling away, but the inside, God has made a deposit there of His Holy Spirit and created a life. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. As we hear, you can just see the great belching smoke come out of the bottomless pit. How it just, it's a stench in the nostrils of God and a stench in the nostrils of the church. It is a pollution that we were acquainted with. But thank God, like the woman at the well, He's pulled us out of that pollution and allowed us to breathe clean air. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, the scriptures say, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now this is the church at Corinth that we just started there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and saw the whole issue that was missing there was Christ. And as he writes the second letter, he says, I'm fearful. I'm fearful. You've fallen after pollution. You've fallen away from the simplicity that is in Christ. You've added to Christ. You've made, a man told me one time, are you ever going to get away from Christ? Preach something but Christ. Well, here he goes on. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. Notice in that verse 4, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. That's pollution. The word another means pollution. this simplicity that is in Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone. It's the gospel, the free and sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's word to us. And then in verses 13 and 14 of that same chapter, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How do they do that? We have 400 in Sunday school. How do they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ? We're getting a lot done. We have 400 in Sunday school. We have the largest church in America. We have 10,000 people attending. The Lord Jesus had 6,000 leave him at one time. And he wasn't in a fritter about it. Why? That was pollution. Now, he saved 3,000 at one time. Don't get me wrong. Day of Pentecost. He saved 3,000 at one time. But he's not going to sell himself out for another gospel, another Christ, or anything else. He is going, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And verse 13 and 14 there, it says, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. The angel, the apostles of Satan are able to transform themselves into the angels of light. Pollution, pollution. How do they do that? Make themselves attractive. Now, when we get over to those scorpions, I've taught all my life, those are critters, they're walking around, they're stinging people. That's nothing else than the apostles of darkness. And we'll look at that next time. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. These false prophets, this great pollution that came out, this free will works religion. Now, these locusts are false prophets. They're false messengers. They come out of that pollution, and they got that darkness all over them. You can just, they're just covered with it. They just can't wash enough to get rid of it. The only one that can wash us and cleanse us from the pollution of religion is Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the only one. That woman at the well, she was religious to the core, and the Lord saved her. Now she was a believer in Christ Jesus. He washed her from herself and from her sin and from her pollution. Now God is gracious to wash us. Get rid of that which we carried around with us. Ministers of unrighteousness to make ministers of righteousness. The Apostle Paul was the first one to admit, I was a deceitful worker of unrighteousness. I was a minister of another Christ. I was a minister of another gospel. I was a minister of another way. And God saved him. He says, now there's only one way. It is no way but Christ's way. Now, notice these false prophets, these false messengers, these locusts, they leave destruction and desolation in their wake right behind them. It's just filled with destruction and desolation. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, we read these words about these false prophets, and they're mercenaries. That's what the Bible calls them. They're mercenaries. They don't have an interest. One of the reasons that he said in the qualifications, not for filthy lucre's sake, but don't be a mercenary. God's preachers are not in it for the money. They're not mercenaries. Here we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him or to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times I've stopped right there. Now let's go to the next verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto upon themselves swift destruction. Now, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and immediately shares with us, but right among those men were false teachers, false prophets, locusts. Some of the most destructive, worst force on the earth in the Old Testament was the use of locusts. Stripped everything. I saw on one of the Animal Planet, I think the other day, a flock of locusts. The destruction they were doing to the farms in Africa, just stripping everything. And it's no wonder that God used these locusts to typify, to picture false teachers and false prophets. Strip everything and make havoc, rake havoc. Now, there was false prophets. Now notice verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. The Bible teaches grace. How many speak evil of grace? The most glorious thing the Bible has to share with the people of this world is the grace of God. And it's evil spoken of. And salvation by Christ alone, evil spoken of. In some people's mind, it's the worst thing in the world that God saves and God saves alone. It takes out men. We've talked about that cake mix. Finally was successful when you added one egg. How religion has this so down, we have to add something. Who followed the Apostle Paul around? The Pharisees came around and says, everything he said is okay except you must be circumcised to be saved. What is that? My goodness, that is taking the gospel of God's grace and making it a sham. All right, it goes on to say, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Down there in Orlando, just out of town, going east, the eyesore of I-4, a monstrosity building built by little widows, I'm sure, poor widows, contributing to this work of God, a monstrosity building that's going to be office space and rented out for the wealth of the guy that's building it. Pollution. How much extra does it cost to build a car just because of the anti-pollution devices? This pollution that is just coming out of the pit permeated the world and the minds of people as they're born into it. This pollution, free will works religion, will be okay. And it's the world around. And the only way we'll ever be taken out of it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he did for the woman at the well who said, that calf is my hope. Works free will, works religion. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The locusts, they're destructive. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. But they're necessary. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There must be. God has ordained it. Who opened? Who allowed the pit to be opened? Who allowed the pollution to be brought out? Who permitted the locusts to come? God Almighty permitted it all. And it's for the church and the church only that it is at the bottom of God's designs in all the earth. He has a stage. He has his actors. And everything else is props. Now the locusts are coming. They're free will, works religion preachers. And they got one thing in mind. Doing their destructive work, just as the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, lied about God, had all sorts of things about God in error. Now, notice verse 4, going back to the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 4. It says here, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. That which has life is not to be hurt, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, a couple things that we are dependent upon. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's the only thing that prevents us from going off. My sheep hear my voice. And there's another thing. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. Turn there with me. Another thing. God has so gracious to us. The pollution would even catch our nose. There'd be enough scent about it that would draw us aside if it wasn't for this. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. It says, and there shall arise false Christs. And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. What do we have to say about them? I don't understand it. Boy, I had a lady tell me one time she was hanging clothes out on the clothesline and saw an angel come and appear to her and give her some instructions. What can you say about it? I didn't say anything. There's no need arguing about it. What do we say? Well, it says here, false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders. Boy, I've had people tell me they've been healed of cancer, they've been healed of sore legs, all sorts of things. What are you going to say? I don't say anything. Great wonders, great signs. They are convinced, and I'm not going to unconvince them. Now, what else does it say here, though? It says there in Matthew 24, verse 24, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Thank God for his hedge. It's the only thing that keeps us. His hedge would be breathing in that pollution, saying, smells pretty good to me. If it wasn't for that hedge, we've been encapsulated. We've been put in a glass ball, if you please. And we've given fresh air. And if it wasn't for that, we'd breathe that and say, that sounds fairly good. It sounds fairly good. So thank God for his protective care of his people. The smoke of that pit is terrible, and the preachers that come out of it are terrible, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, would hear their voice and say, oh, that sounds good to me. But the voice of the Lord God, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. All right, we'll look some more at those locusts. They're just, everything about them has some symbolic meaning. And we'll look at that.